Hey, Lance Zierlein here from The Bench. This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Superior Window Company. Listen, if you're still living with single-pane windows, it's time for a home window upgrade. Get started on your path to home window replacement. Visit SuperiorWindowCompany.com and tell them Lance Zierlein sent you.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. Lance, in New York. I was there, and now I'm here. And Raheel is still there as well. Raheel didn't go to Batsu, right?
No, he went to see Book of Mormon loved it.
He did.
It's a great show.
Yeah. So listen, if you're looking for a great time, how about getting to the Phoenix in Belize? And if you have a great time, make sure you bring your cheers. Bring your cheers with you. We really appreciate those two for sponsoring us in New York City.
Wish we could have gone to game two, game four yesterday. Yeah. It was rained out, and it just doesn't make sense. I'd love to stay, Raheel, and I would love to stay and go catch game four today here and bring it to you tomorrow. But we're live at Prime. You're going to be out. It'd be easier for me to do the show there. Dell and I are going to be hosting the show tomorrow. So we'll have a ton of Astros talk. And also we got to start getting into some Texans Colts as well, because that's a big game. That's a really big game. You mentioned it yesterday. You get ahead of the Colts, even by that half game, or that one, you're one game up on them in the loss column. Then they got to win one just to tie you up, and then you got to see how it plays out in the division. But it's the Texans have some concerns on the offensive line. You saw Shontrell Henderson went to the IR. It's strange because the guy's been super durable over the last 4 years. So very strange to see Shontrell Henderson on the IR. He's probably played his last game as a Texan. Not that he played hardly any at all, ever. And then Kyle Murphy.
Dude had a funny body. I mean, I walked next to him in Green Bay, and he, you know, most guys that are 300 are leg-heavy, butt-heavy. He was, like thin. He was big, strong up top, and he didn't have the great base that you'll find on a lot of offensive linemen.
Yeah, you usually don't like him top heavy like that.
No, he was built more like a. Speaking of which, I just saw Miles Garrett. There's a story. We'll get back to that.
Saw that. Holy crap!
There's a story with Miles Garrett. Miles Garrett with his shirt off. And holy crap, that dude is built like an Adonis. So he's driving. Some guy waves him down. He rolls down his window. Dude says, I want to take a picture with you. He takes a picture with Miles Garrett and then punches Miles Garrett in the face.
Yeah.
It's a true story.
Miles Garrett's like, what? What? Like, he didn't even chase after the guy. Of course, you don't want to just chase after him and have the guy have a gun, and then we're talking about Miles Garrett is dead.
Well, and all that,
at
by
age
the way,
25 or whatever.
Oh, by the way, who's gonna lose in that deal? Who's gonna lose money in that deal? Miles Garrett. Even if the dude punched him first, there would be absolutely no question that there would be litigation against Miles Garrett because he beat the living snot out of him. Here's what Miles Garrett said: a fan hopped out of his car to take a picture with me and then punched me in the face. Put your legs into it. You might have actually made me flinch. Then another one. Was in my car, flagged me down for a picture, and I cracked the window enough for the camera to get in my face, took the pic, and gave me a pillow tap. Apparently, you didn't affect Miles Garrett, but that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why would you punch that? We've become the most outrageous society trying to... I don't know what... What you accomplished.
You think it was recorded somewhere that somebody has it on Instagram? Well, he got his name. I got to see what his name is, but he was caught. The guy was caught because they saw why would you do that? Why would you do that? You know what you have to do? This is where Batsu comes in. People who do stupid stuff like this to make society worse, we just have to start doing large scale, full on tasering and just taser until you say are you done punching people in public? Are you done? Are we done with this? Because we could just keep tasing.
Why do we lick ice cream? Tasing. Why do we eat Tide Pods? Why do we eat? Why do we do anything?
Because of social media. You want the clicks.
Oh,
I wish I was around when social media was getting big with the Astros. I'd have had so much clicks. I'd have run out there and rode on top of a giant dog, shooting off pistols with a big hat on, getting all the likes and all the retweets. Woo! Because baseball's all about likes and retweets, not winning championships.
Well, wait, why?
Thanks for putting him in my con. Thanks, Del. Because now I'm going to take shots at Drayton for the rest of the show.
Oh, my God. Oh, poor Uncle D's just sitting there doing nothing. Don't care. All he's doing is suing Jim Crane, and you got to come after him.
Yeah, get off of our guy Crane. He brought a World Series to the Astros.
Hashtag Team McClain.
And he brought... What'd you say?
Team McClain.
That's horrible, hashtag Del. Team McClain.
That's the most contrarian comment you could possibly make in a city of Houston right now.
Look, have you delved into that lawsuit? Drayton's made some good points.
No, I've heard he makes good points. Somebody told me, you really need to read it. No, I'm not going to. I'm going to intentionally be ignorant to it so I can keep on hating Drayton.
Well, that's where hate comes from.
That's what I am, team hating Drayton.
That's where hate comes from, being ignorant.
Ooh, that is where hate comes from.
Hashtag team hating Drayton. There you go.
Whoa, hating Drayton. That's terrible.
Yeah, I like it. I like the way it rhymes.
Joe wants to get in here and talk about the playoffs. What do you say, Joe?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, first thing, John, I'm with you on the tipping pitches thing. I think it's ridiculous because, I mean, why do the catchers change pitches when a guy's on second? Because people are trying to steal your pitch.
Right.
So if you already know that it's happening, why are they freaking out about it, you know? The question that I have on a more grand level, I mean, if we all come to agree that the balls in the playoffs are different from the balls in the regular season?
Yes, they are. They are different. Okay. They are different.
So let me ask you this. So doesn't that kind of seem like that Major League Baseball could play with the outcome of a series or the playoffs? If a team is a long ball team and all of a sudden you introduce dead balls, doesn't that hurt a team that's been playing with the same set of, you know, the same set the whole year? And then on the flip side, yes, they're both playing with the same, you know, with the same balls, but at the same time, you know, you're taking the advantage away from a team who has been hitting and giving it to someone else. And then on the flip side, you also have the betting aspect. You have betting totals that have been higher all year long. Now all of a sudden the playoffs come and they drop more, not because of the pitching or the batting. It's the actual equipment that's being used. How does Vegas, you know, factor this stuff in too?
That's a great point. I mean, it absolutely has the number of runs and it seems to have changed. There's no question about that. No, they've messed with, and they talk about the integrity all the time. Verlander talked about it after his first start. He said the ball's different. Ball's just different. And after the first series, everybody was like, holy crap, look at the runs in these games. The Minnesota Twins, I think, probably were the team that got hurt the most. That was the highest home run hitting team ever. One of the highest OPSs. They depended on hitting and they just didn't hit at all. We saw St. Louis here how much of it is, okay, you're facing Scherzer, you're facing mm-hmm. Strasburg, you're facing Corbin. Guess what? Cardinals, you ain't hitting. But how much of it is the ball? I don't know. I don't know what percentage you could possibly put on it. But I don't think that there's any question. There's a difference in this postseason than there was in the regular season. A big difference. 713-780-3776. I don't know what that means. Bet the under. So I bet the over today. That's what I did. I bet the over, which is probably
right.
The dumbest
bet
I ever made.
It feels like the offenses are going to get going.
There's probably a huge chance that the wind is blowing directly in. And I went and put it on the over.
Well, it says blowing west. I feel like that's based on the proximity of this. If I have it correct, that would mean it's blowing out to left field.
Blowing out to left? If it was blowing out
Brian Zygo, if you're listening, you know all this kind of New York stuff.
If it was blowing out to right field, it possibly could be a 50-40 game.
Yeah, it's a nightmare then.
Yeah. If I'm pitching tonight in Yankee Stadium with a wind blowing out, holy crap. I'm like, oh, yeah, thanks a lot. That's great.
Let's keep the ball down. I mean, you just got to keep the ball down. You got to be sharp, and then you got to have your offense show up. Listen, Greinke, there is a Greinke has to throw one of these next two games. You're not, you know, it is what it is, and he's much better at home than on the road. But Zach Greinke was brought to the Astros to take them over the top. This is the moment. These are the moments he was brought in for. I said the same thing in game one. And you know what? Honestly, I'll take a game one. The way he pitched in game one, I'll take that right now, today, all day long. If he can be pretty good like he was in game one, I'll take it. I just want a solid outing from him. And at some point, the bats have got to get going. And I'm talking about stringing hits together. You're going to have to start stringing hits. Yordan's got to wake up. He's got to wake up. Brantley's got to get it going. George has had some big hits, but he hasn't had many of them.
No.
And that's the concern.
No. So the Astros are 0-2 in Greinke starts and 5-1 in every other. That's not good. Right? I mean, that's unfortunate for everyone involved. They're 0-2 and 5-0, right? I gotta see that, because that's all they haven't used Urquidy. They're 5-0 and 0-2. No, they lost. Never mind. 5-1 and 0-2 at Greinke start. So we'll find out what happens here. Tonight, 8:12 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. Absolute Marble and Granite. Jeff Aronoff is who I'm talking about now. Please, all you got to do, please call Jeff Aronoff if you've got any big job. You've got anything that if you need to put in entire counters, if you need to put in an entire patio. You need to put in an entire kitchen. He does all of this. And I'm telling you, the latest in the look, he can make it look, and oh, by the way, look great and spend as little as possible. Jeff will give you 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. Jeff Aronoff loves working with the 97.5 people. And he's going to come to your home or your business, and in a lot of cases, your business, and he's going to make it look unbelievable. What do you need? If it's a big, big job, Jeff Aronoff is here for you. No job is too big. There are jobs that are too small. No job is too big for Jeff Aronoff. You need any granite, stone, marble, countertops, fireplaces, outdoor patios, 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822.
Hey, Lance Zierlein here from The Bench. This podcast is brought to you by our friends at Superior Window Company. Listen, if you're still living with single-pane windows, it's time for a home window upgrade. Get started on your path to home window replacement. Visit SuperiorWindowCompany.com and tell them Lance Zierlein sent you.
Is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from New York, this is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by the Phoenix Belize and Cheers. From the ESPN New York studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, I confused myself that last segment. I didn't think they haven't lost. Verlander's 3 days rest they lost. That was the one loss in the Colin Verlander starts. They've started six times, and Greinke started 2-5-1 in Cole Verlander starts, 0-2 in Greinke starts. However, we've got to stop looking at Greinke like he's some schlub. I mean, Zach Greinke is one of the best pitchers of our era. And we got to start feeling that way about him. We got to start feeling like, oh, not only do we have Verlander, Cole, we got Greinke now.
Why do we have to feel that way about him? It ain't going to change how he pitches.
It is going to change those. Here's the deal. Zach Greinke may be perfect for, you know what? Zach Greinke may be perfect for tonight with if the wind is blowing out. His ground ball average is up to nearly 44%. This is batted ball type averages in 2019. It's up almost to 45%. His ground ball, or his fly ball, 35%. Mm-hmm. You know what Verlander was in the other night in game two? He was zero ground balls. Zero Verlander. Mm-hmm. So how about that? That, you know, you've got a ground ball pitcher with the wind blowing 50 miles an hour out to left field. Maybe this is the best thing. Maybe you'd rather have Greinke over Cole or Verlander. How's that taste, Lance?
Do you want to, you want to put your name on that? I mean, don't say maybe, put your name on it.
I'm putting my name on it right now. I want Greinke out there tonight over Cole and Verlander. That's right. I said it right here and right now. Dell.
Cut it, Dell. Save it for tomorrow when you and I are on the show.
Save it for tomorrow.
John won't be on the show. That's why he's saying that. He's not going to be on the show. Everyone will forget by Monday.
No, nobody's going to forget.
The series will be over by Monday.
Yeah, the series will be over by Monday.
By the time you're on again,
we'll be getting ready.
You're
going
to have to answer for your Greinke.
And you will be getting ready for the Nationals, and I'll say, you know who I want game one? Greinke against Scherzer.
Over Colin Verlander.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if anyone else has this out, but Barstool Sports has an Aces shirt where it's cards, you know, pictures of a card, and it's got like, you know, it's got Greinke, it's got Verlander, it's got Cole on it. But they're sold out for, you know, like the XLs are sold out. But they got smalls, which is cool if you're, you know, tiny. I think somebody sent that in like, look, guys, here's a cool shirt. And I went and looked at them. I'm like, they don't have sizes. Like, they're selling out most of the sizes that that real Astros fans would wear. Well, they got smalls, guys. You can you don't even need to send that into the show.
Look at where. You ever notice that when Cole is, it's almost like Cole is pitching Little League baseball. That whip, his right hand is above his head. Look at where Verlander. You see that T-shirt? Verlander comes from about shoulder high, and he's got his left shoulder higher. Cole has his right hand, his pitching hand, above his head and his left shoulder down, like he's pitching on downhill at the batter. And it just, that whip gives him 99, 100. And not the Verlander, obviously his form is awesome. He's a Hall of Fame, all that stuff. But it's just different with Cole. And I wonder if he's going to be as big and as strong as he seems to be getting stronger as the season goes on. And I talked about this before. Schilling has always said, you know what, these pitchers that get arm troubles and they're hurt, it's because they've thrown so many curveballs. They're not strengthening their arm during the season throwing fastballs. I try to throw as many fastballs as possible. He had a great fastball, obviously. But Cole, too. Cole appears that it looks like in October now, his arm is stronger than ever. He's throwing 109, 116, 111 pitches in a game, and his 115th pitch was 100 miles an hour against Tampa. I mean,
it was he throws. You know what that shows you? That shows you that he is really not overexerting himself. It means that his mechanics are perfect where they need to be. I mean, you really have to give a lot of credit to Brent Strom. Because Strom, when you're able to throw 99, when you're over 100 pitches and you're throwing 99, and let's face it, I thought his last inning the other day, Cole's last inning, he looked as good as he looked the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
And when that's the case, that means that he's not overthrowing. His mechanics are going to be really good because he doesn't have to overexert himself. And he's in such a great place right now. Verlander's not in that place. Now, Verlander's still such a great pitcher that it's tough to beat him. But as John said, look, the ace is Greinke. Obviously, John said it. Greinke's the ace. That's mm-hmm. the guy you want out there.
That's right.
And that's the guy who's going to lead best him to victory tonight. Best pitcher on the
planet. Well, maybe we got the best pitcher on the planet. We got the best pitcher in the league. Now we're going to have the best pitcher in the universe, Greinke.
And they're three different people.
Yes, three different people. It's unbelievable.
That's insane.
It is literally. Did you see the stat the other day? Hitters 1 through 75, their average and home runs against Cole and 75 and above was like night and day. Of course, that's fewer innings, and he's got to, you know, 75 batters. But he gets the 75 pitches. He gets the 75 pitches every outing. So he, you know, but it's still only a third. But he gave up 20 home runs in the first 75 pitches, and only three. Apparently, no, that had to be wrong because there, he gave up 26 home runs this season. Anyway, whatever the case may be, he when it's 75 through and plus pitches, he appears to be a better pitcher than the first 75 pitchers. So, you know, he just gets stronger. He just gets stronger as it goes along. So, just throw him 140 pitches. That's all. I don't care. Wayne Graham. Augie Garrido him. I don't care.
I thought Wayne Graham too. That's the first thing I thought of was, hey, Wayne Graham wasn't afraid to have pitchers throw deep into a game. As far as I'm concerned, Gerrit Cole, if you know for a fact Garrett's not coming back,
yep.
Man, I need Gerrit Cole out on that bump tonight.
And
oh, we got a chance to close tonight. Go. Yo, go.
I need him. I need him out there tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, and then every game.
Look, not starting, just closing.
Whatever. I don't care. Worry. I don't care. Just throw 100 pitches a night. I don't care.
Do you have one hitter that you think is going to – you know, if I had to pick one hitter to go off tonight, you got to get somebody – so Tanaka had a really nice slider the first time out. So you got to get somebody who's able to dip and take it the other way. That's Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman is not afraid to hang tight in the box and take it the other way. And well, that's why I would make him – yeah, Altuve can, but, you know, he also will swing from his heels. So you never know with Altuve. Bregman is more – you know, Bregman as a hitter, Bregman might be the most disciplined hitter the Astros have. And if that's the case – well, I think it is the case. But regardless, he's kind of my pick to click tonight is I think Bregman is the guy that if you win – because of offense, I think that he's going to have the big game. I'm looking for three hits out of Alex.
Do you remember when we used to say that was Brantley with the perfect swing and how he
he's had his he's had a couple moments in the playoffs. It was when, you know, pitches were tipped a little bit, but
No. But I mean middle of the season, it was like, man, Brantley, hitter! It was unbelievable.
He's still quiet. He's still got a beautiful approach, and he did have a big home run the other day.
Yep. Well, and he's gotten some base hits now. I mean, it looks like he's coming out. He just doesn't look like the same guy. All right, Dana Holgorsen next right here on ESPN 97.5. That's coming your way. 713-780-3776. You can actually talk to the coach if you'd like to come in, you Cook fan. So that's coming your way next. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, HRMP, and Chastain Ford. I want to talk right now about my people over at Cameron Hughes. Cameron Hughes is a wine company that his plan is so good, and he's been doing this for years. He used to be in Costco. For those of you who used to shop at Costco and you saw the Cameron Hughes line, here's what he does. He buys at an unbelievable discounted price from all of these wineries. He'll have a Pinot and he'll have a bunch of Napa different wineries, but he'll get a Chardonnay from Napa, a Pinot from Napa. He'll get a Pinot from Oregon. He'll get a Rosé from France, New Zealand, Australia. He gets all of these different lots. And you go online and say, well, I would love a Chardonnay from Napa. And you pick it, and he sends you these, and they're excellent. And you're paying, I swear, pennies on the dollar. I got a Pinot from Oregon that was unbelievable for $16 a bottle. Right now, Cameron Hughes offering a deal exclusively to us, 20% off and free shipping on three or more bottles. All you have to do is enter my code BENCH at checkout. CHWine.com, CHWine.com. Put in the promo code BENCH. You get 20% off and free shipping on three or more bottles. CHWine.com, promo code BENCH.
This is the Dana Holgorsen Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Chastain Ford, Damaris Barbecue, and HRMP. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Lance and Coach Dana Holgorsen.
Working on bringing the coach in here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you got a question for Coach Holgorsen, you're more than welcome to come on in. Unfortunate loss last week against Cincinnati at home. they had a chance, we're down five with about 6 minutes to play, and a ball batted in the air and returned for a touchdown. It was a you know what? I thought they hung. I thought they played tough. They got beat. That's a pretty good Cincinnati team there right now. You talked about it, Lance. How big that backfield was. They're a bunch of bruisers.
Yeah, they had two backs that were 230 or heavier and one who was 225. Warren is actually 224. That's the biggest set of top three backs that I've ever seen on one college team. Like that's insane how big all those guys are, and they're just battering Rams, and that's kind of how Cincinnati likes to play.
Yeah, and no, that's a pretty good football team. Now, they got their ass handed to them by Ohio State, but every other game this year, Cincinnati has been...
I was talking to a NFL player, a pro personnel director who is right now looking at all the top teams. Like, they're scouring for offensive linemen for this team, and I said, who's the best team that you've seen? Because he's been SEC, Big Ten, Big 12. Like, he's been everywhere where you have top 8 to 10 type teams. He goes, oh, it's definitely Ohio State. He said, man, Ohio State is really talented and really good right now. And he said, LSU's playing good football, but they don't have the defense that Ohio State has. He said, Bama is really talented. He doesn't think as highly as Clemson. As a lot of people probably do. He likes Georgia. He thinks Georgia would beat Alabama this year, but he said, man, I'm not sure anyone's going to beat Ohio State. And he said, I think people are sleeping on Wisconsin too. But Ohio State beating the brakes off Cincinnati was actually really impressive.
No, really impressive, because that's a pretty good football team, and the coach is here to talk about that Cincinnati team and more right here on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, HRP, and Chastang Ford. Dana Holgerson with us here. What's up, coach?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man. Yeah, after watching Cincinnati and then being on the field there, we were talking about how big they were. I mean, you guys are a physical football team. That was a physical football game.
Yeah, it really was. I tell you what, y'all mentioned Ohio State. You know, we watched that game pretty closely. They went toe-to-toe with them. Physically, they hung in there. I mean, Ohio State ended up making a few plays. I think Ohio State's one of the, top five teams in the country, maybe the best team in the country right now. But Cincinnati's a pretty physical football team. I measure our team at the end of the game based on how they do physically. And the coaches at the end of the game came up to us and said, once again, we didn't know you guys were that physical. So I was really proud of how our guys just hung in there and played with them physically. I think Cincinnati is a really good football team.
Speaking of physically, a lot of people didn't know that what Clayton Tune had been going through. You guys had the bye week, and he was a lot of people don't know that he was hampered by a bad hamstring. It was a game-time decision, a kid who didn't practice for a couple of weeks. And he, big part of his game is using his legs. So that changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, two things. I mean, one, when a quarterback doesn't, your starting quarterback doesn't get reps for 2 weeks, it's kind of a problem, And we tried to get him as many mental reps as we possibly could, but he couldn't get all the physical reps. And then you get him into a live situation. He was our best option, obviously, and went in there and, when he couldn't like scramble around and make plays, it kind of hampered his ability to be able to play the game. Probably set us back a little bit, but Clayton's a really good quarterback. He's our starting quarterback. He's going to be a fantastic player for us. Just really couldn't play the game the way he wanted to play the game, and he's going to be better this week. He's going to be better the next week, just needs to be able to run around and make plays, and couldn't do that here on last Saturday.
Dana Holgerson here. Brought to you by HRMP, Chastang, and Damaris. But that, as a play caller, now you got to change everything. You got to go back to your days as a with a pocket passer. No.
Well, yeah, I mean, how about that? Cincinnati's got an outstanding front. You know, we were really concerned with that. Their front four is as good as I've seen. They're really good up front. So we had to max protect, and keep him in the pocket, which, you know, that's really not what our strength is right now, but that's kind of what we had to do. Give them a whole bunch of credit. They were pretty good up front. So, you know, Clayton had to sit in there and, you know, we turned the ball over five times. He threw three interceptions, but, you know, really only about one of them was his fault. So, had to sit in there and do some things that were really not built for at this point, you know, but, give Clayton credit now. I mean, that kid, you know, he sat there for 2 weeks and didn't practice very much, and then went in there and did the best he could.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you guys still ran the ball for 190 yards.
Well, that's kind of who we are. You know, Kyle Porter, I tell you what, you know, he did a good job. I mean, did some Wildcat stuff with him, did some Wildcat stuff with Bryson Smith, thank goodness we had a bye week. You know, I don't know what we would have done if we wouldn't have had a bye week, but, I tell you what, these guys just continue to, you know, they put their head down, we practice hard, we play hard, and I told them, you know, at the end of the game, I was like, guys, it's a tough deal, but you continue to do this, you know, we're good things are going to happen when we do.
Dana Holgorsen with us here on ESPN 97.5. By the way, big Astro fan, Dana Holgorsen, let me ask you a question. AJ Hinch is going to start. He's going to start Verlander in Game 5. I disagree with the decision. What do you think about AJ's decision? Do you agree with me or AJ Hinch?
Well, I don't agree with you, John. That's for certain. you know, so yeah, I was looking forward to watching the game last night. So you guys are in New York, huh?
Well, I flew back last night,
yeah,
because of the
rain. I'm in New York right now.
Yeah. Lance is there.
Well, Lance is a true fan.
Well,
yes,
no,
that's right.
That's not why.
That's right, Coach.
Lance went to a Japanese
John
game
came
show
back,
last
he goes,
night.
Well,
that's why
get
he
back
stayed.
To...
Not, he's coming back before tonight's game. So there's your true
no,
fan.
No, I think I'm going to stay, Coach. I think I'm staying.
No.
You know why? Because John's not even going to be here tomorrow after a big game, playoff game. Yeah. Unbelievable.
No.
So game 4 is tonight.
Yep.
Who's got to start tonight?
It's Greinke tonight.
Right. Okay. Right. And then Verlander's got game. He's got game 5.
He's got game 5.
So it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but here's the deal. What if you're down 3-2 and you got to come home and now you got to start Urquidy in the bullpen in game 6 because you don't want to go cold 3 days rest? I'm just saying, Coach, I think AJ should listen to me.
Well, if you didn't, if you weren't controversial like this, John, then you wouldn't have a job.
That's right. That's not true. That's not true. Hey,
I want to ask Coach something about, there's a tremendous article on Bleacher Report today about, since you brought up the Astros, there's a tremendous article by their NFL Reddit writer, Ty Dunn, and he's talking about, it's an article about Deshaun Watson. And something that I found interesting, and I want to see if you've done this in your life, he's become really good friends with Justin Verlander. And I don't think I'd heard this before or knew it. He actually watches tape, baseball tape, with Justin Verlander so he can get into the strategy. He says when he's struggling, he wants to know how Verlander cools himself down, the strategy behind a pitch. He wants to know where his mentality was with certain things he was doing, what his pregame regimen was, when he's striking everyone out, how he remains steady. Like Deshaun talked, this article talks about him going and meeting with Kobe Bryant for a one-on-one for an hour, Justin Verlander, he's very close with. Have you done that or, you know, reached outside of your sphere of football to go find other influences and anything that you do or maybe any of your players that you had previously at West Virginia or Oklahoma State or wherever? Have you seen this before?
I think it's all relevant, honestly. You know, you want to put yourself in those positions with guys that, you know, the weight's on their shoulders. You know, so, I mean, I don't think that's any different than me wanting to sit down with, the likes of, you know, Mike Leach and Bob Stoops and guys that have been in your shoes. I think you can gather information with guys that are, you know, that have, you know, that kind of weight on their shoulders, really. So I think that's fantastic. I think Deshaun's doing a great job. You know, actually watched the game there this last weekend, had a really good game. That's a huge win at Kansas City now, you know, and, you know, you get yourself in a position where you can put yourself in their shoes and have all that weight upon their shoulders, and I think that's fantastic. You know, so I think Bill O'Brien's done a great job. I really do. I've talked with you guys about this. I think he's a really good football coach. I mean, the competitive nature of the NFL is as good as it gets. You know, the competitive nature of what Justin Verlander does on the mound is as good as it gets. So put yourself in those shoes. It doesn't matter what the sport is. There's a mental aspect of the game that exists. And if you can handle it mentally and you got the physical tools to be able to handle it, then you're going to be as good as it gets. And I think Deshaun's doing a great job.
You know, that just shows Deshaun's dedication, is that he wants to get, and how hungry he is, just where it doesn't matter where it comes from. I'm going to go with the greats, see the greatest, and see how they go about it, and try to be and incorporate some of that stuff. That's awesome. And you know what
but
else?
You're right,
awesome?
Coach. Yeah.
You mentioned Bill O'Brien. How about his RPO? Are we going to be seeing this more and more in the NFL? We got the Mahomes, we got the Deshauns, we got Darnold, we got so many mobile quarterbacks.
Carson Wentz, it's all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, the look at the RPO and how the NFL is starting to adopt it now.
You know, it's funny. I spent all those years at Texas Tech doing all the air raid stuff, and we incorporated a lot of the RPOs and had some pretty good quarterbacks, and the NFL guys would come in, let's say, you know, that's all good, but there's no way we're ever going to do this in the NFL. And the NFL is full of doing that right now. I mean, it's you can only play 11, you know, and you can only have a couple of eligible receivers. You got to have five linemen that can't do anything. And eventually the NFL said, you know what, I mean, this stuff actually makes a whole lot of sense. So we're going to get in the shotgun. We're gonna spread it around. We're gonna do the RPO stuff, and you know, now they're doing it left and right. So I mean, the things that now I'm not just saying us. I mean, the stuff that the college game was doing a long time ago. The NFL is now starting to do it. You know, and so now, you know, take a guy like Case Keenum, right? I mean, he threw for 20,000 yards in college, and they said he's not good enough to play in the NFL and didn't get drafted. And all he does is make team after team after team and start for, what, 8-9 consecutive years. So it's fun to watch. You know, we're going to continue to do the things that we do to move the ball. And now the NFL is doing a lot of the same stuff.
Dan Holgorsen with us here. He joins us every week right here on ESPN 97.5. And he's brought to you by HRMP, Damaris Barbecue, and Chastang Ford. And speaking of Chastang Ford, let's talk a little bit about that. Your expedition. I've got the expedition. You've got the expedition. We both got it from Chastang. And I can't tell you, it's one of the nicest cars I've ever had, Coach.
I got a brand new one. It's got like 44 miles sitting downstairs. Well, there's one for sale right now. It's 44 miles. So it's a great car. Those guys are wonderful people. Treat you right too, right?
Oh my gosh. It could not have been, because everybody's had car buying experiences. It couldn't have been better. They just mailed me my plates and my sticker, everything. And it just cannot be better. If you're looking for a great experience and you say, well, that's a commercial Ford truck place. No, it's a retail place as well. Got 0% financing on my expedition. You're looking for the XLT. You're looking for the F-150. You're looking for Explorer. Whatever it is you're looking for, they've got it at Chastang Ford. And they got it at a price. They ain't scared of competing on price at Chastang Ford. But you be part of the Chastang family. Get there. Just two exits east of 59 on 610, just 5 minutes from downtown, Chastang Ford.
GR-Dash.
You're listening to the Dana Holgorsen Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Chastang Ford, Damaris Barbecue, and HR&P. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Lance and Coach Dana Holgorsen.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Dana Holgorsen with us here. Big Astro fan. Hopefully he'll be able to catch some pitches tonight. I know you work late on Thursdays, but hopefully you'll be able to catch some of the pitches. You know what the Astros are getting accused of, Coach? Is that, are you going to bring them up? Is he up? You know what the Astros are getting accused of stealing signs and stealing, you know, pitches, and they're tipping pitches, and the Astros are stealing their signs and whatnot. Do you ever like go like the Patriots and film the other sideline trying to get their plays from the other sideline, or no?
No, we don't do that. That's kind of not against it's against the rules, right? Oh. I mean, you're not supposed to be able to do that. So, but yeah, we do.
Yeah, but
the one thing that I've always thought with that is if you obsess over that, then you're kind of losing the integrity of the game. Honestly, I mean, you know, I don't listen to like my guy in the booth. Everybody's got a guy in the booth, right? So we got a guy in the booth that's looking and trying to figure out what they're doing. I mean, that's kind of a part of the game, but. It can distract you a little bit too. I mean, you only got a few seconds to be able to come up with a play call and get something in. So everybody tries to do it. Everybody tries to figure out what the opponent's going to do. You only got a few seconds before you got to make a call. And once you make your call, you got to kind of make it work, you know, regardless of what the defense is, and regardless of what the, what the opponent's going to do, you got to be able to execute it, and we're in a point right now to where we're just trying to execute plays.
Yeah. So to that point, Coach, you've got Markell upstairs and Brandon upstairs, and you're calling the plays. Because we were talking about Bill O'Brien and how much Tim Kelly contributes and whatnot, and it goes so fast, and you're going to make a decision so quickly. Are you getting any feedback from upstairs in your headset while you're trying to decide what the next play is? Or do you want everybody quiet?
Yeah. Well, yeah, Shannon Dawson's my guy that's upstairs, and Shannon's he's doing a really good job. He's been a coordinator, and he was a coordinator for me at West Virginia, and went on and was a coordinator at Kentucky for a few years, and then Southern Miss for a few years. So very comforting to be able to have a guy upstairs that you trust that can give you some information that you need. You know, I actually destroyed my first headset here at Houston this past weekend. Not proud of that, but they quickly gave me another one and listened to what was going on was able to be able to get some information that's valuable. So you got to have a guy up there that I want. I can't wait till the NCAA. You guys are like this. I can't wait till the NCAA gives me that little headpiece and to where I can talk to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually talked to Coach O'Brien about this. You know, as far as how that works and everything, it's fascinating to me. To know that you can talk to the guy for about 15 seconds prior to snapping the ball.
Right.
I think that would be pretty valuable. And I think it's only a few – I think it's probably about a year, maybe 2 years away from the NCAA adopting that rule as well.
Yeah, that'll help.
Kind of strange, by the way, that the NFL's ahead of college football on something. It's pretty much unheard of since everything leaks into the NFL from college as opposed to vice versa.
Well, and how, you know, we've talked about, it's well known, Sean McVay is in Jared Goff's ear right up until that 15 seconds. So they get to the line in a hurry, and Sean McVay helps him read what the defense is doing right up until that 15 seconds, which was a big edge for Jared Goff early on in his career.
Well, it's where all this freeze call stuff happened. You know, I mean, everything, you know, where the college has been probably for the last decade is that's what you hurry up and get to the line and you act like you're going to snap the ball and then you don't. That gives, you know, the guys upstairs an opportunity to be able to look at the defense and and figure out what the best play call is going to be. So the trick is here's where defenses are going with this, is you get up there and they show their hand defensively, and then offense starts to check a play, and then the defensive guys are actually smart enough to be able to check something different. You know, so it's kind of a cat and mouse game. It's fun. It's a good opportunity to be able to, you know, use your wits against their wits and get up there and try to get yourself in the best position to be successful. But that's just where I continue to talk to our guys, and you know, the players got to understand this is there's no such thing as perfect plays now. I mean, you do your best to be able to get yourself in a position to have a perfect play called, but that's rare because the defenses are pretty good and the defensive coaches are pretty good to the point to where it's, you know, whatever play you got called, regardless of what their defense is, I mean, you got to be able to execute it. And we're still in the beginning stages of our offense and our program to the point to where you got to, like, just do your best in trying to execute it. You know, we didn't execute enough plays last week to be able to win, but hopefully this week against UConn we'll be able to do that.
Yeah. Have you ever had, because you're only with them for so long in the NFL, you know, coaches a lot of times don't have a tight leash on quarterbacks and don't let them change anything. You've had Case when he was older. You had Brandon Whedon when he was older. You've had some older guys that have you ever given them any leeway to change anything at the line?
Oh, all the time. You know, all the time. I mean, we've played three different quarterbacks this year, so it's tough when you're pretty new. But yeah, I mean, Case got to a point where he was probably calling about 75% of the plays. You know, last year, with West Virginia, we. Will Greer is a pretty smart quarterback, pretty good quarterback. So he got to the point where he was calling things about 75% at the line. I mean, you get up there and the great quarterbacks are the ones that understand what they're doing, and they get up there, and the best way for them to be able to be successful is they look at the defense and they see what they're doing, and then they get themselves in the best position to be successful. And that just takes time. You know, it takes smart quarterbacks. Guys that really know what they're doing, and then they get themselves in a position to be able to be successful. And calling plays at the line of scrimmage is the best way to call plays.
Yep.
And then really the only guy that can do that is the quarterback.
Yep. Okay, so that's UConn this Saturday, 11 o'clock. They're scuffling. Go up there. It's an 11 a.m. game, Coach, on the road at UConn. Bring home a win, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You got it, man. Business trip. It's about as business of a trip as we can get. We fly up Friday evening, and we come back Saturday.
That's it.
Can't wait to get up there and go.
No, great, man. We appreciate it. There's Dana Holgorsen right here on ESPN 97.5. Raheel joins us on the other side. He's in New York as well. We'll hear about the hot dog. He apparently went to an Asparo, a New York pizzeria, yesterday. So we'll talk to him about his big restaurant.
Local. He's a local.
Yeah, he's no question, he's a local. In the meantime, let's talk about Gritty.
Let me tell you about Gritty's wholesale energy rates. How about $10 a month is what the fee is for you to get wholesale energy? And I'm not talking about just wholesale energy. I mean unlimited access to it. Now, this is, I saved 100, and I think it was 112 last month. It was my savings over my previous year. And with Gritty, there has been so far, of the 7 months, I've had 1 month where it was higher, and that was a historic energy usage. It's never happened with that much energy usage over a five-day period, and that was a reason for that. Over the course of the year, the average savings is about $470 per person. That's about what I'm going to save this year as well, depending on how the next few months go. But I've learned to consume energy smarter, and that's one of the things Gritty does that I really love, is they educate the public and they educate their users. Now, listen, there is no contract with Gritty, so if you're ever unhappy, you can bolt at any time, but I'm not sure why you would. There's no markups, there's no additional fees, and there's no contracts. Gritty membership, they want to give you a free Gritty membership for 1 month when you text Lance to 64,000. That's text Lance to 64,000, and you will get that first month of membership fee, absolutely free. You have up to 90 days in advance that you can do this. So text Lance right now to 64,000 and get those wholesale rates. Text Lance to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply.